Welcome, this is David Thorderson, Editor-in-Chief for Foot and Ankle International. For today's podcast, we'll be featuring the lead article from the February 2017 issue of Foot and Ankle International. This article is entitled Correlation of Physical Performance and Patient-Reported Outcomes Following Total Ankle Arthroplasty. Here with us today, we have Dr. Robin Queen. Dr. Queen is an Associate Professor of Biomedical Engineering and Mechanics at Virginia Tech and also an Associate Professor in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at Virginia Tech Carillon School of Medicine. She functions in the AOFAS roles as being one of our editorial board members of FAI and also an Assistant Editor on Gait Studies. Robin, welcome.
Well, Dave, thank you for having me. I look forward to talking to you about the article and would like to acknowledge my co-author, Evan McConnell, who's one of my grad students at Virginia Tech as well.
Well, great, Robin. This was obviously an outstanding work. I was wondering if you could just start with a brief summary of the article.
Absolutely. This article really came about because we wanted to understand whether or not there was really an association between the patient-reported outcomes that are commonly done following total ankle replacement and the measures of physical performance that we typically collect in the lab setting, with the goal of understanding whether or not we've been assessing patients in the most holistic way. So in order to answer that question, we looked at 140 patients who had end-stage ankle osteoarthritis and were scheduled to have a total ankle replacement. And then we tested them preoperatively and then again at 1 year and 2 years after surgery on a host of measures that included standard patient-reported outcomes that are often used, and then also measures of physical performance that included walking speed, the four-square step test, and a portion of the short physical performance battery, really mostly related to balance. What we hypothesized was that there would be no association really between the measures of physical performance and patient-reported outcomes. And that was based on some previous literature out of ACL reconstruction, patients with total knee replacements, and then the older adult literature. And so in these 140 patients, what we found was, in fact, that there was significant improvements in most of the measures of physical performance and patient-reported outcomes from pre-op to 1 year and pre-op to 2 years post-op, and some minor changes that happened between 1 and 2 years, but really very limited association, as we hypothesized, between their measures of physical performance and their patient-reported outcomes. And so at the conclusion of the paper, what we suggest is that potentially we need to start considering assessing measures of physical performance along with these patient-reported outcomes in order for us to better understand how these patients are doing at their postoperative follow-up visits.
Well, I noticed in your hypothesis that, as you stated, that physical function and outcomes wouldn't correlate based on previous literature. That still seems counterintuitive to me. So as you were just mentioning, we need to therefore also assess physical function. But do you think that they're truly that different, or do you think that one or the other, either the manner in which we're recording the patient report outcomes or the measures we're using to report physical function aren't perfect measures?
That's a great question. I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think that often the patient reported outcomes that we use aren't specific to the type of function that we're actually getting at when we talk about the physical performance measures. So a lot of times the questions that we ask in the patient reported outcomes are driven a lot by pain and a lot by disability. And so they often associate, well, where am I today versus where I was preoperatively? And they answer the question related to the change. And so if they're feeling a lot better, then they say, oh, yeah, well, I think I could do that. Whether or not they've really tried to, say, walk the 6 blocks that they say they can walk or not, it's hard to know because we don't really spend the time or have the time, really, to ask the questions of, well, have you tried to do that? You tell me you can walk 6 blocks when you answered this question on your patient-reported outcome, but have you ever tried to do that? So I think that some of it is about how we ask the patient-reported questions, but I think the other aspect of it is when we measure physical function, it's not something that they can always compensate through. So when we're starting to talk about balance, for example, or the four-square step test, those are fairly complex tasks and aren't things that really we address in the patient-reported outcomes. So, you know, we may ask them how they can do standing up and sitting down from a chair, but we don't actually say, well, how quickly can you do that or how comfortable is that? So I think they're really measuring different constructs. One's about how they feel and their feelings about their ability to do it, and one is actually, can they physically do it when we ask them to complete the task? So, you know, I think that there is some line in the middle where we need to find, you know, what are the measures we can do quickly in the clinic setting that tell us about physical function, but then also understanding how they feel about it, because that's equally as important as how they're actually able to function.
Well, as a clinician, I personally actually welcome this because, you know, back in the olden days, all we ever used to do is measure angular changes on x-rays as surgeons and say, oh, we got a good result or not. And then the pendulum swung way towards, you know, the patient-reported outcomes, which are obviously very important, you know, how the patient perceives their outcome. But it's always a little frustrating when, as a surgeon, you're looking at a patient and say, boy, that looks pretty good, and the patient complains about their ongoing problem afterwards. And I suspect that your functional outcomes of these patients, or physical function, actually is going to bear out that some of these patients are doing better than their patient-reported outcomes would otherwise indicate. Did you find that sex had anything to do with it? For instance, did males or females seem to have better correlation, or did you really not gather any differences there?
It's a phenomenal question. We actually did not look at a sex-specific response in this case, but it's absolutely something we can go back and look at. There were fairly even numbers of men and women in this study, but at the time didn't really think about the fact that maybe there is a sex-specific difference in sort of how they compare. None of the previous literature would indicate that there would be, but that doesn't mean that there's not something specific about this patient population where maybe there is, or maybe it has more to do with some level of, you know, depression or pain threshold or pain sensitivity that we didn't really get into specifically with this. But those are great questions that I think we do need to answer, especially when it comes to counseling these patients about, you know, how they're going to do. And I think that somewhat drives their patient-reported outcomes, as well as what their perception of how they're going to be doing after surgery is. If they think they should be doing a lot more, then their patient-reported outcomes tend to be a little lower, and that can help explain some of those patients that just keep kind of complaining about how they're doing and about how they're feeling. And so I think, you know, digging a little deeper into that with regards to how we design some of these measures, I think it's going to be important. And absolutely looking at a sex-specific response is something that we need to start doing as well.
Right. So you touched on some other things I was thinking about in reading your article. You know, what about pain threshold and what about, you know, patient expectations? We actually recently just published an article about how patient expectations can definitely have an effect on their perceived outcome, which of course makes sense. I'm actually not that familiar with all the various subscales on the patient reported outcomes that you talked about, and I'm not sure, I don't think that the mental composite score, the SF-36, really shows pain threshold, but is there any indicators in there? It seems to me that a particular pain threshold could have a huge impact on the patient-reported outcomes, more so than their actual functional capacity.
I think you're probably right. None of the measures that we're using right now, or that we reported in this study, or that I've really seen reported in the total ankle literature, really are able to assess pain tolerance or pain threshold. I think it's something that we should consider. And the other sort of patient-reported measure that might get us there a little bit or get us a little closer would be looking at something like self-efficacy or a locus of control measure, both of which tell us whether or not the patient feels like they're in control of what's happening and how good they feel about their condition. And those aren't questions that have been traditionally asked, but I think as we start to understand these patients a little bit better, those are some measures that we may want to consider adding in. They're fairly short, you know, 6 to 11 questions, so they wouldn't take too long to collect. That may give us a little more information about how they perceive their pain or their ability to complete a task in a way that the current measures really don't assess at this point.
Yeah, it'd really be nice to have some sort of objective measure, because certainly as clinicians, we're always frustrated when a patient is sitting there and very conversationally telling you they have 10 out of 10 pain and they're showing absolutely no signs of trouble.
Right.
So the other thing, when looking at all your outcomes and your scores, so there really weren't a lot of changes, a little bit of change between years 1 and 2 and the patient reported outcomes, a little change in the walking speed. Were you surprised about that? I mean, did you think that you're going to see more improvement between years 1 and 2?
You know, based on all the work that's been done by our group and others, I wasn't terribly surprised that there was a limited change from 1 to 2 years. I think that for the most part, the improvements that these patients see happen during that first year. I think some of the questions now that we're working on, and I know others are as well, is what happens longer term after that 2 years? Does that just maintain? Or do we start to see a decline in some way? And is that related to, you know, implant failure, or implant wear, subsidence, any of those other sort of clinical concerns? But the 1 to 2 year, because they're not doing a lot with regards to changing, for most of them, changing anything about their physical activity, it doesn't surprise me that we see very limited changes. I think most of that sort of happens in that first year when you no longer have pain, and you're beginning to walk without the use of assistive devices again and without the cast and everything else as that sort of you progress through recovery. You know, I think that there are potentials as we start working more with these patients to see improvements between 1 and 2 years, but I think that that's going to require some very targeted interventions to be able to really start to see these patients go back to the level that we would like them to be on the physical function side to get them closer to their age match controls. But again, I think that's going to take some targeted intervention that's not just sort of you're going to gain this back by walking around in your everyday life. We're going to have to help them relearn things that were lost in the, you know, 15 plus years for some of them that they were in pain and walking around with really poor mechanics for a very long time.
Well, Robin, congratulations on this outstanding study. I'm pleased to see that physical performance, another objective measure, is going to start to play a little more important role other than patient-reported outcomes alone. And this is just another study demonstrating why you are really one of the world's experts on gait analysis, especially in our foot and ankle patients. Thanks for joining us. Do you have anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
No, I would just like to thank you again for your time and for all the kind things you said about the article. And we look forward, as always, to hearing people's feedback on it. And hopefully, eventually, we will see this being used in the clinical setting, or at least some of these measures, in order to better assess these patients and help them really restore function following their ankle replacement.
Okay, well, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.